Welcome everybody to the Rink Podcast, episode 40. Puff.
Wow.
40. Yes. Can you believe we've done 40 of these things?
I know, it's crazy.
I know, it is a little crazy. But before we get into that, what is a hockey, like, who's number 40? Who do we have?
Well, right now, the most famous one is Vancouver Canucks forward Elias Pettersson, who is one of the best players in the league right now. So he's making 40 famous on the West Coast.
Nice. Okay. Anyone else you can think of, number 40?
Henrik Zetterberg was another famous one from the Detroit Red Wings for their cup runs when they were a juggernaut in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. Not mid. Would it be mid-2000s when it's like 2010?
Like 2005? 10? That'd be the aughts. Would they call that the aughts?
I'm all confused.
Me too. I don't know. I jumped to the 20s right away.
Oh, well, are we back in the roaring 20s now? Can we call
we
it
are.
That again?
We are. Roaring 20s.
I always loved the roaring 20s.
It doesn't feel roaring right now, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah. Awesome. Well, listen, today we have an interview. We have an interview with Ty Campbell. Ty Campbell is the coach of the U13 Avenue Road Ducks. And single A team, and he's hot in the playoff session. But it's important to know that we talked about this group last week because this was the group in the rankings you were referencing that had, was it four or five teams that all had like 9, 10 points?
It was five teams that had 10. I think one team had 10 and four had 9. And it was Ted Reeve Thunder 2011 that got left out in the cold. They missed out on the semifinals.
But the other teams got to move on. And so
the other team had on, yeah.
So Ty's coaching the Ducks, who was part of that. So they're moving on. Mm-hmm. But maybe you could just remind me again or tell me, why would have Ted Reeve been cut from that group? If they all had the same amount of points, why does that team get cut?
It was because – so they go to the tiebreaker, obviously. And the tiebreaker – I believe it only included your record against those teams in the tiebreaker. And Ted Reeve had lost the first game of the round robin to Leaside. And Leaside was one of those teams. And all the other matchups between the teams, I believe, were ties. And so the only loss by Ted Reeve in the whole round robin, they went 3-1-3. And that loss was the one against – it was it just happened to be against the wrong team.
Right. Okay. So – little formalities is what knocked them out, I guess, a bit.
Yeah, very, you know, very.
A little bit of red tape on that one. Yeah, that's a tough one tough pill to swallow. Well, it's an interesting, well, hopefully we'll find out a little bit more with our interview with Ty. Ty and I have actually been texting with each other for about 2, 3, 4 months. It's been a while, like maybe since Christmas. So I know he's listened to the pod and listened to a bit, but we just haven't been able to find a time. You know, through jobs and coaching and then playoffs. But tonight we got him. So with that, let's jump over to our interview with Ty. Okay, welcome everybody to the Rink Podcast. Today we have a special guest with us. We have Ty Campbell, coach of the U13 single A Ducks, Avenue Road Ducks here, joining us hot during playoff time, ready to chat a little bit about what's going off during playoffs and this year with the Ducks team and the U13. So Ty, thanks so much for joining us on the pod.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, let's jump right into it. I know a little bit because we've talked a little bit on text and on phone, but you know, why don't you start off by just telling us a little bit of who you are and a little bit of your history with hockey?
Yeah, so I played in the GTHL for a number of years with the Toronto Young Nats. My hockey career is pretty much over. I play senior still, but I kind of just want to get back to the game. So I was doing mostly power skating and skills development, but I was given an opportunity this year to be the head coach of obviously the Ducks. I took that opportunity and we have a good group of kids and we're really trying to build something special there. It's kind of one of the newer teams in the league. When I was playing, I didn't even know that the Ducks were a team. I guess they got newly formed, but yeah, it's been quite the experience and the kids are great and I've had a lot of fun with it for sure.
That's awesome. And so you grew up in Toronto, played in the G with the Young Nats the whole time?
Yeah. So I grew up in Mississauga, started with like Loren Park and then went to Streetsville Tigers and then kind of just made the jump to the GTHL AAA group with the Reps and the Nats and Wexford Raiders at the time that are now the Titans. So yeah, it feels like forever ago talking about it, but yeah.
That's great. That's my your Lauren Park team is where I started to play hockey. I stopped at like U6, maybe U7, I think, was at the end of my career. But it all started and ended with the Lauren Park crew there. That was back when Lauren Park had its own team and Clarkson had its own team. Now they're merged. I know that.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, what were they called when you played? The Ojibwe at the time?
Lauren Park? No, Ojibwe, they were just LP. It was a green jersey. It was a green jersey with a yellow LP or a yellow jersey with a green LP. The better team, I think, was the green one, and the lower team was the yellow. That was me. I think that's how they broke it up. Yeah. We used to practice at a Cawthra Arena. Oh, yeah. It's still there. It's still rocking. So why don't we come back to how did you get invited to become the coach of the Ducks? So let's get back to how did you get into the coaching this year?
Yeah, so last year I was with Top Hockey. I learned a lot with them and stuff with regards to the development side of practicing a lot. My time at Top was awesome. I learned a lot, like I said. And then I was approached by someone to come help out with the Ducks because their coach had a child, so they needed someone to run it full time. And I was lucky enough to be given that opportunity. I went and got my development one at the GTHL thing, and we've kind of just kept going from there. It's definitely been a learning experience. Played a good amount of hockey, but coaching is totally different, right? Like anything, you're learning every day. And like I said, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially being a mentor to a group of kids now.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be a good role model and stuff. And when I talk to my friends about some of the stuff or some guys I used to play hockey with bouncing the ideas off them, they just like laugh because they know who I am as a person off the ice, right? They're like, I can't believe you're a mentor. But obviously, I don't know. I find myself pretty professional, and kids have a good time. I like to joke around, but be serious. A good little balance where they can learn some stuff, right?
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, it sounds like you've had a really great year, which leads you right into the playoffs that we're into right now. So most likely this pod will be coming out in a week. So we'll be talking in about a week advance from now. So it'll be interesting when this pod comes out and what we say. But I know Puffy has as we got you locked in for this interview, he shot me a note within like an hour. He's like, here's a bunch of questions about a game they had against the Arrows and some questions I want to lay out.
A lot of people have been talking about that for sure.
So let me throw it over. Let me throw it over to Puffy here.
Okay, Ty. So let's go back to the events of March 14th, Leaside Arena B, Toronto Arrows against your Avenue Road Ducks. It's your final round robin game of the first round. Now, you aren't 100% sure at the time, but you did need to win to advance to the semifinal round. That'd be the end of your season. The score is 0-0 late third period. The Toronto Arrows decided to pull their goalie. They were a little further back in the standings, but I guess they still thought they had a chance to go for the win. And the results in your Ducks scoring an empty net goal to win 1-0. The question everyone in U13 single A wants to know is, were you planning to pull the goalie if they didn't?
Honestly, I'm kind of the coach where I try to stay out of those kind of situations where what happens if this team does this or do that. Actually, that night when we were playing, North Toronto was facing Leaside, the other arena, like 15 mm-hmm. to half an hour minutes after our game. So I just kind of said, whatever happens, happens. And this team's worked really hard this year, and we haven't maybe had the best bounces and stuff in tournaments. And I honestly feel that's a little gift from the hockey gods that we were fortunate to get an empty netter. To answer your question, Puff, we were definitely thinking about it. However, I knew in the situation we were in that they would need to pull their goalie. They were in the exact same. They were more desperate than us. I think I don't know exactly what the number of games were, but I knew they needed to win the next two in order to advance. We obviously needed to win as well, but I think we had more points. But it was definitely lucky for sure. I think any team would be lucky to have the other team pull their goalie, but it was such an even game the whole time. 0-0. Both goalies were playing really well. And you know what? We were sweating in the last couple 30 seconds when they had it in our end until we were fortunate enough to bury one there in their net.
Okay, so now you face the first place West Hill Monday night at Scarborough Village. Now, this interview will most likely come out after you've played this game. Your Ducks need to win to advance to the East Final against Leaside. With how much time left in the third, will you pull your goalie in a tie game?
It really depends on the game, right? Like anything can happen. I think obviously any coach is looking around like the minute and a half mark. You have to look at what players are tired right now? Are your key guys tired that you want to put on the ice at the end? How many timeouts do you have left? It's really hard because you want to have a possession kind of game, right? You don't want to give it away right away and have them come down and score. So it really depends. Can't give away too much, even though it's going down in the week. So it won't really matter. But I don't know. I'm hoping that the boys will come together and we won't have to worry about pulling our goalie. But obviously, it can be anyone's game tomorrow. So we got to come prepared.
Now, this is your first year coaching at this coaching in the GTHL. Have you been impressed with how competitive it's been in this age group at this division? I know there was at least five or six teams that there wasn't much between them. And I mean, personally, I was following it. I have a friend whose son plays in this division there on Ted Reeve, and they just missed out. And I couldn't believe a team with 9 points in a round robin and only losing one game wouldn't make it through to the semifinal. Were you surprised by how close it was?
Yeah, like it's crazy how evenly matched each team were. I think anyone really had a chance and would do well in any round advancing. But the whole year it's kind of been a up and down battle, right? Any player, any team can win any game at any night, depending on who wants to come play. So no, I wasn't really surprised when it was so close, but maybe surprised at how close it was, having like a 4-team tie for 9 points, right? Like that's crazy. That's unheard of. What do you guys think? Do you guys, I know you guys mentioned on the other podcast, but are you guys a series of the round robin or the series? Cause personally, as a coach and a player, I'd rather win to go through than have to worry about all these what ifs. You know what I mean? It's also difficult finding ice time during this time of the year. I understand that, but
yeah,
each team, I could sense the frustration. Like for example, Ted Reeve, really good coach team. They didn't make it through because of some formalities, right, that are out of their control. I think each team just kind of wants to be control of their destiny. So I think maybe at the very least, there should be some kind of like overtime to determine a clear cut winner, right? Cause it kind of sucks for teams, same amount of points. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just my opinion, but.
No, I don't like the round robin format for the playoffs. It's a lot better when it's a series where if your team gets beat, you get beat. I mean, the other team's better. Where this situation, a case like Ted Reeve, they lose out because of a tiebreaker situation, which
for sure.
Is never really that fair.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I like the playing through. You win your spot and keep moving through. Not that I've had a lot of experience with the round robin because when we were at that age with Mike, we were out pretty early on everything. So we were. I like the round robin because it maybe gave us a bit of a hope. But yeah, as I've gotten older, definitely into the series. So as a new coach. This year, as you said, this is your first year coaching the team, right? This is your first year coaching overall. What's the most important thing you've learned this year then, or you think is one of the biggest takeaways as a new coach that you maybe could share with people that are thinking about becoming a coach?
I think a big thing is just communication, right? There are times in practice when I'll draw up a drill and it doesn't go up as drawn, right? You just kind of got to adjust and be open with the kids and say, okay, hold on, restart this kind of deal. And just be patient with the aspect of development and just finding out what does work. As a team, we didn't start out the best. Obviously, we had our goalie was injured, but we had to work on a couple of things, right? And we had to find out what works for us as a team. And it's been working pretty well. So kind of just got to figure out what works and keep going with it, right? Like, so.
Now, Ty, U13 is a big transition year in minor hockey as teams prepare for the start of hitting at U14 for AA and AAA players. Have you guys taught any body contact this season to prepare any players on your team that might be thinking of playing at those AA or AAA levels next year?
Yeah, so that's actually interesting. I've been thinking about kind of doing like a body checking clinic for our team next year. Not that we will be doing body contact. I think it's definitely still a good skill they can learn with regards to like maybe rubbing a player out, not necessarily body checking, but knowing how to maybe take some kind of contact. I know we do a lot of battle drills and whatnot, but sometimes when you go down to the States or have those tournaments, like we had one in Montreal, some of the teams can be physical. So you do kind of have to be ready to be able to take a body check, even though you might not necessarily be wanting to give one.
Right on. So staying on that theme of sort of the transition years that you're in right here, of this age group, what advice do you have for a single A player who has the size for a double A team, but maybe not quite the skating or skill level yet for a double A team? What kind of point of development do you push them towards to see if they should be moving up?
I think number one, you got to work on your skating at all levels. It comes down to that like half second speed difference, right? Hockey IQ is a big one. Really being coachable, right? I think every player is going to face a little bit of adversity throughout the year, whether that be an injury, whether that be a scoring drought, not stopping the puck. You're going to face those kind of things. It's about how you react to that kind of stuff as a player with your coach and with your team within your system to kind of move forward, right? I know sometimes a lot of players might be trying to move up and down, and that can kind of affect their game. They might try to be a little bit more individual, but my advice would just to be stay within your kind of zone and just improve.
Perfect. So Ty, your Ducks finished in a tie for fourth place this regular season, and at worst, you're going to finish top three in the playoffs. Do you feel you've met your season's goals, overachieved or underachieved a little this year?
So first off, I'll say that these kids, every single one of them, have come a long way since the beginning. And no matter what happens, we've definitely achieved our goals, and I'd be very proud of them. With that being said, it's hard to put the materialistic, like a trophy win or something on the season, right? Like that would be the cherry on top. These kids have come so close two times in a row. We've come second and two tournament finals. So these kids are very hungry and very motivated as a group to kind of have that finishing touch of like a title or a trophy, what have you. And obviously the GTHL one is a huge one. I've never won one myself playing 9 years in the GTHL. So I don't think these kids understand it, the opportunity that they have right now, but yeah, it would be a huge accomplishment for a very good season if these kids were able to pull it off, which I think we have the group to do so if we all buy in.
Yeah, so that's a good leadway to my question around the buy-in. So you're in a critical stage of the year. Obviously, you're in the finals here, or leading into the finals. You're in playoffs, and you have a group of U13. How are you keeping them focused when you're not having a practice that day? Are you communicating the team ongoing? Do you have like a group chat, and like what kind of things are you talking to them about mindset or about just really dialing into like what's ahead of them in the next few weeks?
Yeah, for sure. So we always try to have at least one practice, two practices a week to prepare for our game. We do have a social media page on Instagram that I kind of try to just put clips on all the time, make hype videos for the kids, try to get them pumped up. But to be completely honest with you guys, when it comes to game time, I have to do little to get these kids motivated. Like, for example, last game we had in North Toronto, they kicked me out of the room and had a players only meeting and started getting
wow.
So these kids are ready to go, and I'm very proud of each and every one of them.
Yeah, you've done a good job then if they've done that. Yeah, good job.
That's awesome. Now, Ty, you coach the Anaheim Ducks. A famous movie, The Mighty Ducks. Have you ever practiced the flying V with the kids? And if not, why not? Because it's a fantastic play that seemed to work.
Yeah, honestly, I love that movie. I have that jersey somewhere. I'll pull it out next time. But I've thought about it. On Ducks hockey, we try to keep it a little simple. So even when we try to do a power play breakout, I think it's a little difficult for anyone at that age to kind of like make sure everyone comes down and go out, particularly to the flying V. But you know what? On request, we'll try to bring it out for next year. It might be a little late for the playoffs, but
yeah,
next year we'll have that for you guys.
Okay, good. We'll be looking for that. That's a great movie. That's the flying V. I totally forgot about it until Puffy sent me some questions and I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Oh, the best movie ever.
So given that you've had a really great year with this group, it seems like a great group of kids, you know, can you bring us into like the most memorable moment of the year that you've had as a coach with the team, that you really thought that this is really clicking, or a moment where you're just like, we're super proud and you're like sort of stop and pause for a moment to enjoy it? What was that this year?
100%. So definitely hands down, I think everyone on the team would agree. We had that rough patch at the beginning. I'd actually yelled at them after one of the losses because I care about these kids so much. And it was disappointing to see us go down. We went to a tournament in Montreal, and like, honestly, I didn't know how we were going to do. I was like, okay, hopefully we win a couple games, come back with some confidence, right? We went undefeated in the round robin and then lost in the finals to a team we'd beat in the round robin. And these kids had really showed the cohesiveness and like moving the puck, transition, and just team game. And it was the turning point for our season. And just to see them all mesh in the hotel, celebrating one of the Jewish holidays on Saturday with them, and seeing the kids in that aspect as well was really kind of cool for me. I'm not Jewish myself, but it was definitely cool to see them all in that kind of setting and stuff. So definitely the Montreal tournament for sure. We wish we could have won that, but they definitely learned a lot that weekend for sure.
Right on.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So Ty, now you used to play in the GTHL. You have pretty much 1 year of coaching under your belt. Is there anything you'd like to see, any changes to what's going on in minor hockey these days, or suggestions you'd have for making our league better?
It's hard to say. I think the GTHL does a great job, obviously. I would like to see a little bit more preseason action between the kids, a little bit more exhibition games and whatnot. But I think right now, like from a transition from what I used to see in the GTHL and how much coverage they have, especially on like the older kids and whatnot, I think they're doing a great job and whatnot. I wouldn't really change anything right now, to be honest.
Maybe the round robin,
yeah. But you can obviously see why they do that with regards to ice time. And
yeah,
you know what I mean? If they had overtime, this game should go on forever, and then kids are backed up, right? It's just
so. Right on. Well, for those that have listened to the pod, and I know you have a bit, we always have one question at the end that's been a pretty consistent question for all of our guests, which is really, what song do you use to pump up either the kids and the team, or one that you have yourself that you're gonna maybe save until the final game to get everyone all pumped up to head on the ice? What is that song for you guys?
Definitely one that we play in the kids' locker room, and I make sure all these songs are clean, obviously. But we play Gangster's Paradise in the
we haven't had that one.
Love that one. Yeah, they always joke that's around. Awesome. Is this a new song, Coach? And I'm like, yeah. So, yeah,
that's awesome. Great. Yeah. So, that's what we have. We're really excited to see how you run for the next couple weeks here. I know this interview will come out in about a week's time, so you'll be deep into, the continued playoff run that you guys are on now. But we really want to thank you for coming on, Ty. I know it's taken a little bit. We've been talking halfway through the season on trying to find time for you to come on, so I'm really glad it's happening now during the playoff run. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks again for having me. Hopefully we're in the finals when this airs. So good luck, boys. I know we can do it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right, guys. Have a great night. Appreciate it.
Well, that was great. Ty is exactly the type of young people we love involved in minor hockey.
Absolutely.
The amount of people in Ty's situation, that former players that are, you know, young guys who have, or girls that have yet to start their own families and maybe will get involved as parents, getting involved, giving back to the game. And they have a ton to give back, you know, just, you know, having experienced it myself, and I'm a coach. We have one of our assistant coaches is Carl, who is, he's the one the kids want to be like. They don't want to be like the parents. They want to be like these young hockey players. And so Ty's setting a great example for his team, and they're in tough. That West Hill team they're going to play tomorrow night is a great team, but I'm hoping they pull it out.
So it's the Ducks versus the Hawks. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Bird. Battle of the Birds.
The Golden Hawks, I guess they're called.
The Golden Hawks and the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Still the Battle of the Birds.
It is the Battle of the Birds.
Yeah, but no, Ty is great. I mean, I think it's really interesting to have a young guy like him come on and speak, you know, as a leader of a team and really step into that role this year. And it sounds like he's really done a great job of leading that group of kids, especially when you hear little things like he said, where the kids kicked him out and wanted to have a team meeting on their, a player meeting on their own. And,
yeah,
you know, they're really dedicated to what they're doing. And, you know, and he's really had some special moments with that team this year. So I think it's awesome seeing someone like Ty, a young guy, come in here, take the helm and lead a team like that, and hopefully lead them on for many more years to come.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you asked them that question around, like, if there was something in the GTHL that you would change. And, you know, we joked a little bit about maybe the round robin stuff that we had talked up front. But something that I think we've talked about in the past, which is around like the tryout times, is something I would, if it was me, you were asking me, I would have said maybe that tryout sort of period, like on when you have tryouts for the kids now, because you're doing tryouts during the playoffs, like, or during times when the teams are still together.
Yeah, well, it's not as much the tryouts are, because the tryouts are the beginning of May, the end of April.
Right, but
so it's, the seasons are over by then. But it, you know, as everyone knows, the GTHL, the tryouts really aren't a real thing for the most part. I mean, there's certainly teams that definitely have tryouts where they do pick up some players, but for the most part, those decisions are made, you know, at this point or a little bit earlier. And I mean, I have to say, a couple of years they switched it to the fall for tryouts, and I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, we talked about that a few. Yeah, that was not good. I remember that, actually.
Yeah, because all that they used to say, oh, it gets kids off the ice or whatever, and it did the exact opposite, because kids were fighting for their spots all summer because you know, they had to be ready right away to start the season in September, and that really did hurt kids that play summer sports or just want to take a break from hockey. So it is tough in the GTHL to figure out a way to build teams for the next year while you're still, going through this season. And it's, unfortunately, it's not always smooth, and there's sometimes some hurt feelings or some, you know, it's tough to keep your group focused on the task at hand, but I am not sure if there's really a better way, of doing it in a big city like Toronto.
Yeah, it's hard. There's lots of teams to coordinate too, when you think of all the teams that are involved and how much ice time there actually is and stuff. I know it's quite a hard thing to coordinate as well. But anyway, enough about that. It was really great having Ty on the pod, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens to the U13. I like having these people on the pod that have teams, because then you start, you know, someone like myself, I'll start wondering what happened to the U13 Avenue Road Ducks.
Yeah.
You know? Just like the Mississauga Beast or the Don Mills Flyers that we've had this year. So it's been great. We've had a bunch of different representatives from different organizations on. He also mentioned the Avenue Road Ducks are new. I didn't realize that. How do you know how new they are?
They've definitely been around for a little bit, as far as it was when he was playing. I don't think they maybe had a team, but they've, like, since Barrett started playing, like, definitely when I was a kid, they didn't have a team, but since Barrett was playing, we were playing Avenue Road Ducks when he was in Tyke. So, I mean, that's, you know, 7-8 years ago. So
there you go. Okay.
I think they've been around for a little bit.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, with that, and Gangster's Paradise, I got to shout out to that. We haven't had Coolio on yet. We haven't had that one yet. So
yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, good song.
I love when the kids are loving the old music.
Totally. We love that. Yeah. Every so often, there's like a song that like pops up on TikTok, I guess, and Ozzy and the boys were like, oh, do you know this song, Dad? I was like, yeah, I've played it to you like 30 times, like in the last 5 years, because it was around when I was around. But yeah, now it's hot on TikTok, and now it's cool, you know?
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, now it's cool because TikTok told them, not their dad. which is par for the course, which is great. Well, with that, anyway, thanks everyone for listening to the Rink podcast. We really appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe, listen, review, leave a review, leave a comment, share with your friends. We appreciate it. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and Instagram. Reach out anytime. Puff, anything else for everybody this week?
No, it's getting down to the nitty gritty. I mean, most of the AAA series are already over. East finals are starting in single and double A. West finals, not too much left of the hockey runway. So your team's still lucky enough to be playing, good luck to you.
Yeah, there you go. Don't forget to check out biosteel.com. Type into the rink for your discount. And enjoy your week, everybody, and thanks for listening.